where we left off last week, remember, Lilo was trying desperately to teach Stitch how to be a model citizen. And, well, she did the best she could. I mean, she wanted Stitch to behave. She gave him all the lessons, but every attempt ended up in frustration, chaos, and confusion. And honestly, a whole lot of damage. See, all of the lessons that were done, all it did was it put more pressure on their ohana, on their family. And that's because it was all about performance. And you need to appreciate that that is what performance does. When I try to teach you how to perform, I put pressure on you. And eventually, when you don't live up to the standard, the pressure begins to form in frustration. And frustration, well, when you start to feel that, it always produces chaos and damage. And some of you here, you know exactly what that's felt like. I mean, you've been in church for a while. You've had people lay out the rules for you and the regulations and how you're supposed to do the church thing, and you just don't measure up. You have those moments in your life. It isn't because you didn't try. You tried to perform. You want to belong. You want to become a better person. You've made promises. I'm going to do better. I'm going to get to church more often. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I promise I'm going to do this. Some of us do this every single year. We make resolutions. New year, I am going to resolve myself to be a better person. It lasts till about February. And usually we don't even make it to February now. You know what I'm saying? Okay, maybe a couple weeks into January, but it just doesn't work. You've tried the idea of harder. But be honest with yourself for a second. Nothing really changed. Not really. Maybe you're a little tireder because you've got more things on your schedule that you're trying to do. Maybe you're a little more confused because even though you do the things that you're supposed to do, it doesn't seem to make a difference in how you're supposed to be. So, that's just frustrating, isn't it? It makes you angry. So just for a moment, I'm going to give you a breath because you can't perform your way into this. You cannot behave your way into belonging. You can try, wear the right clothes, do the right thing, show up at the right moment. You can try to behave your way into being part of a family. But it doesn't work. Instead, you have to belong your way into becoming. Before you can be part of a family, you belong to that family. That family has interest in your life. That family meddles in your life, even if you don't want them to. That's what families do. Stitch doesn't change because somebody lectures him. They tried that. That isn't what they got. They didn't get the change that they wanted. He changes because he witnesses love. So go ahead and start replaying that clip in your head. I'll get there in just a minute. But as you see that clip, he sees real ohana, real family lived out right there in front of him. And as he does, something begins to happen deep inside of Stitch. I don't want to live the way I was programmed to live. I don't want to hurt the ones that I belong to. Something inside of me has to change. But change is never an instant. I'm sorry, there is no microwave for change. Okay? And honestly, if you're really talking about change, it's never easy. It's complicated. So as we were watching what was going on, as Stitch sits there on that shore and begins to watch David and Nani and Lilo playing in the sand and surfing in the water and swimming. As he begins to watch that, something begins to rise up in him. Did you watch a very natural progression? What's the first thing he does? He wasn't designed to belong. He was programmed for destruction, isolation, and chaos. On top of that, he has a weakness for water. He can't swim. The moment he does this, he's going to drift on that board and he is vulnerable. But again, he's watching. He's looking. He wants to change. So what does he do? He begins to mimic what he sees. Did you catch that? He sees them making a sandcastle. He wants to make a sandcastle. He sees them put a flag on the top of their sandcastle. He wants to put a flag on the top of the sandcastle. He's just mimicking what he's watching. This isn't real change, but as he begins to mimic, he begins to edge closer. And eventually, he asks to go out on the water. Now, keep in mind what he's doing at this point. He's choosing belonging over programming. This is what I've taught it is, but that is not getting me what I want. I am choosing to belong before I just simply choose to live by a bunch of rules and regulations and let everybody tell me what I'm supposed to be. He is choosing relationship over instinct. He is choosing to be part of this family, even though to be part of this family, he is going to have to put himself in a very, very, very uncomfortable situation. He's going to have to make himself vulnerable in every single way. And as he goes out on that board and he starts to rise, you've got to appreciate, he's literally going to be clinging to his family, his ohana. But you understand that vulnerability is exactly where relationship begins. And it's where Scripture speaks a powerful truth into our lives. God built us for connection with him, with each other, and with the world that he made. And when we choose to step into relationship, something begins to change that the rules and the disciplines and the performance never could change. They just don't accomplish the same thing. And as we begin to think not just about Stitch's story, let's think about our story. Scripture shows us that what Stitch longs for is exactly what we were created for. So let's go back to the beginning of our story, literally, all the way back to the beginning of our story. I'm in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish and the sea and the birds and the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over the creatures that move along the ground." God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So right off the bat, we see something unique about Jehovah God. How does God reference himself, us, and our? God is a being that is a relational being. And when it came time to finish off creation and put the caretakers, the image bearers, into creation, he did the exact same thing. He created mankind in his own image. Therefore, man was created for a relationship. Now, when you think about Mr. Stitch, he had no real relationship with that purple creature that's watching through binoculars. That's his creator. And he had absolutely no relationship with his creator. In fact, his creator saw Stitch as an experiment. 626. A combination of programming, code, and logic. So that means when Stitch is going to his new family and looking to go out on the water and his creator is watching him, he's baffled. Why would his creation or his experiment choose to do something that is dangerous. It's against his programming. It's against his design. Stitch was not designed to do what he's now trying to do. But this isn't us. We're not experiments. God did not run a mad scientist laboratory when it came to creating mankind. He didn't say, well, I'll take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and do a little coding and do this and that, and then poof, out popped man. That's not how mankind was created. We were formed and breathed into. That's a work of art, not simply an experiment. And so when we begin to think about this and all the relationships God has around us, God designed us for lots of different relationships. This morning, I want to take a look at three. Three that honestly come right from the story of creation. And it begins with Adam and Eve. Before Adam and Eve were ever husband and wife, before they were parents, before human community ever existed, did you know they were given a purpose? They were gardeners, stewards, caretakers. God handed humanity a wild and beautiful world and said, care for it with me. This is what verse 28 says. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in numbers. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over every living creature that moves along the ground. God entrusted creation to humanity. He gave it to them as a gift. He allowed them to shape it. He allowed them to explore it. He allowed them to name it. And he allowed them to enjoy it. That's incredible. It was a relationship between man and the rest of creation. We're supposed to be living in harmony with our creation. But we know that's not only the first relationship he gave us, right? There's another one. Dropping down to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable. So keep in mind what's happening here. God looks at Adam. Perfect Adam. No sin. God looks at Adam perfectly. Awesomely. Sinless Adam, working in harmony there with the creation. And in spite of all of that, he looks at creation, he says, something ain't right. This isn't how it's supposed to work. Isn't it interesting that when God looked at the idea of loneliness, his idea was not more God, it was more relationships. When God looked at Adam, he did not say, hey, I've got to figure out how to spend more time with you, Adam. You've got to put more focus on me, Adam. I've got to be... His solution wasn't more God. He said, let's make you a helper. Let's make you a helper that you're going to be fruitful and you're going to multiply. You're going to have all these little people running around. And then those people are going to grow up and they're going to get married and they're going to have little people running around. And there's just going to be relationships stacked on top of relationship, stacked on top of relationship. God's answer to loneliness in my life wasn't just more God. It was more people. Got to have people. And that's stunning to me because Adam had God's presence. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? I cannot. He had God's presence in his life. Adam had meaningful work. No time clock. Come and go to work as he pleased. Had things to do, and there was purpose behind what he did. Some of us would love to have jobs like that, right? Most of us kind of like, it's time to go to make the donuts. I made the donuts. Time to go make the, we go back and forth. Adam's work wasn't like that. It was meaningful to him. It meant something. He had a perfect world, Every single day, the perfect temperature. Every single moment, the perfect moment. There were no thorns. There were no thistles. There were no weeds that he had to go out and spray. He had everything perfect for him. And yet God said, not enough. But let that just perk for a second. Adam didn't go to God and say, God, you left something out. You forgot something. Adam was in his world. And he thought, I've got everything. God said, no, you don't. No, you don't. You're missing something. Because the world that you've got right now, you can't understand relationship the way that I want you to understand relationship. So God had a solution. He had to make Adam aware of the solution, but God had a solution. So God created woman. Not from dirt, so he didn't go back and pick up a pile of dirt and say, okay, let's form something new and different here. Not from dirt. He took literally a side of Adam, not a rib. The word there is not rib. The word there is a side of Adam. And well, there was a point behind that because he was signaling identity, equality, and unity. He was not creating a housewife for Adam. He was not creating the cook for Adam. He was not creating somebody to keep the tent clean. He was creating a partner. He was creating a relationship. And you got to give credit to Adam because Adam saw what God said, and God, he's like, you got this one right, God. I see this. Upon seeing Eve, Adam recognizes bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Not somebody to take care of me, and not necessarily somebody that I have to take care of. He sees somebody to share his life with. Somebody that's like me. Somebody that I can relate to. Somebody that I am supposed to belong to. Isn't that an impressive object lesson? This is what God does in the idea of relationship. But that wasn't the last relationship. There were three of them. And this is kind of the apex relationship. Because Adam had a relationship with God. One that I do not understand. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden literally. It wasn't a figment of his imagination. He didn't lay down in the bed at night and start dreaming about it, and God showed up and walked with him in his dreams. It says that God walked with him. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 gives us this very heart-moving detail. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. You know, you've got a really deep relationship with people when you recognize them by their footsteps. We've got four people that live in our house. Three of them are not me. We have a two-story house. And when somebody goes from the upstairs to the downstairs, I have no doubt which one it is. I know the footsteps of my wife when she goes down the steps. I know the footsteps of Caleb when he goes down the steps. I know the footsteps of Benji when he goes down the steps. And they probably know mine also. As a parent, I understand better now when my kids were little and they were young, evidence of their presence was absolutely everywhere. Noise, toys, chaos, good chaos. Not all chaos is bad. But now they're all grown up. They come and go, and our house at times gets a bit quieter. Our relationship hasn't ended. My kids are going to have a hard time getting rid of me. I'm like that little gum that sticks to the bottom of your shoe. You just can't get rid of me. But they probably, hopefully they don't want to. Hopefully we are in family. But you do understand our relationship is maturing. It's changing. And now it takes a bit more intention to make our relationship work. We can't just assume they're going to be sitting at the dining room table at night. We have to schedule dinner when we want to have our kids around. We have to look at their schedule. We can't just place edicts anymore. And that's because our family has grown. It's changed. It's growing up. God's relationship with humanity was meant to grow, flourish, and deepen. God never intended for Adam to stay exactly like Adam was the day he created. If he was, then he would have never created Eve. He would have just stopped and said, I got what I want. But for man to understand relationship, God had to create relationship. But then something happened. And it absolutely shattered all of it. We know what happened, right? Sin entered the picture. And just so you know, sin absolutely destroys relationships. Sin did not just break the rules. It broke the relationships. How many of them? All of them. Let me give you a recap of the story. Here's how it happened. Humanity hid from God. That's a relationship break. As we keep going along, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. Work became painful. Thorns, thistles, weeds, kicked out the garden. Go get your own food now. Children and childbirth became painful. Ladies that had given birth, you can give me an amen to that one. It became a painful thing. As we keep going, marriage became strained. Creation became hostile. Loneliness entered the world. Fear entered relationships. Shame entered identity. And you know what? It happened. Sin fractures everything we were made for. It took it all away. Now, I don't have a shame-free life. What was the first thing Adam and Eve realized when they sinned? I got no clothes. I'm ashamed of the body God created me. I have to cover it. Isn't it sad? Don't you just get tired of it? Don't you just get weary? You see, even with billions of people around us in a world full of God's fingerprints and a God who still seeks us, don't you often feel alone, disconnected? Sometimes even like nobody sees you. You're just unknown. And we have a name for that feeling. You know what the name for that feeling is? The name for that feeling is lost. Lost. And that's exactly where the clip that we're watching is we watch today is going to eventually lead Stitch. However, a little bit different. He's ready to be found. See, Stitch steps into a relationship for his very first time. You have to appreciate that surfboard ride was his very first experience with relationship. And I just kind of want you to watch how he progresses. See, he's ready to be found. And as he goes on that board, you probably missed this in the clip. He just gets this look of peace. He's heading down on that board. He's got his family out in front of him. And he just looks at peace. Of course, they go up the wave, and they start coming down the wave, and we get a brand new experience for Stitch. He's never had this experience before. He's afraid. He's terrified. What if I fall off this board? I'm going to drown. Now, usually when Stitch gets upset, you understand what he does, right? He acts out. He destroys things. He pushes people away. Not this time. This time he begins to reach out. Why? Because he's got a family. He's got people that he knows love him. He's got people that he knows will take care of him, that have his best interest at heart. So he begins to reach out. And wow. As you watch him, look at that face. He's hanging on to his family, but now he's happy. But look around. What's he surrounded by? His very worst fear. He's got water under him. He's got water to the left. He's got water to the right. He's got water above him. He is literally sitting right in the middle of his biggest fear. But you see the smile, right? He's actually enjoying his life. But, well, it leads for that next step. He knows what he's not doing now, right? He's not hanging on anymore. Why is he not hanging on anymore? Because now he's celebrating. Now he's confident. His family has given him something that he had never could imagine. He is out there confidently living his life. Unfortunately, it's a temporary moment. Because once again, he's about to be reminded at this point, family's not for him. Nope, it all falls apart. You see, while he escapes, his past actions are about to cause some real pain, not just for him, but for his family. And by the end of the day, poor little Stitch, the part of the clip I didn't show you, he ends up standing on that beach all by himself. He ends up alone, blaming himself, burdened with guilt, experiencing the full experience of that word, lost. I know you're going to hate me for this. That's exactly where we're going to leave him today. Lost. But you know, there may be a few people that are here or listening to this sermon that's exactly where you feel. I'm lost. You know what it feels like to long to belong. You want belonging, right? You know what it feels like to try to change. I have tried so many self-help books, you don't even want to think about it. I've tried living by the rules. It's not working for me. You absolutely know what it feels like to want relationship, want connection with God. And even though you've tried it all, you still feel lost. You're still wondering, God, why is it not working? The good news is lost is not the end of your story. Just like we still have a few weeks left in this series, I'm not done with your story either, because your story has a big twist coming in it. See, the idea here is the rest of the story, if you want it to be, that's important. I can't make you be found. But if you want it to be, the rest of your story can be about found. The rest of your story can be about being restored. See, unlike Stitch in this moment, I want to leave you like this. Something to think about this week. See, you were absolutely created for a story of grace. God's got such a better ending to your story than the one you've got right now. God's got so much more in your life. So as we leave Stitch standing on the shore, let me leave you here. You were created for relationships. You were created for belonging. That's what family is. That's what the idea of Ohana is. Because Ohana means family. And in God's family, your story's not finished yet. God's got chapters to write, days to come. And it begins with the idea of how do I get myself found? And for that, you're going to have to come back next week.